world. The town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jennifer. And just to take as a point of aside there, that last line there, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes. For those listening to that at the time, that would have been, how on earth can we ever do that? When these are the teachers of the law, they know everything. How can we ever exceed that? It's Jesus pointing to himself. There's no way you can do it on your own. You've got to do it through me. That's that last bit there. But our verses from Matthew's Gospel then follow what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes, where Jesus is giving us instruction as to how we can live our lives in a new way, in a way that is blessed, in a way that is changing the world around us. It's like Jesus is looking at and turning on its head the accepted behavior and standards for the day. It's like for us today, he might be saying, happy are those who are content to drop the microphone on the floor and pick it up again and hopefully it work. Happy are those who are content to have given up on chasing the latest thing. Happy are those who live their lives with integrity, who keep their word, even when it costs them dearly and is of no personal gain to themselves. Happy are those who have learnt about the freedom and the power that there is in not holding offence and forgiving others. Happy are those who have come to realise the joy and the freedom there is in knowing Christ and living our lives with him. It's all about being different. A call to be different. Christians are made and designed and sanctified to be different. To stand out among the others. In the Old Testament, God said to Abraham and God said to the nation Israel, he said, I will bless you. I will be your God. I will bless you richly. But live differently. Think differently. Worship differently. Stand out. So that others looking on will have a look and think, wow, what is going on here? These people are special. They are different. What's it all about? And it will point us back to the nature and character of God. That's what it was all about. Being different and standing out in that way. To be attractive to others. We are not meant to blend in. We're meant to stand out. We're meant to be different, not in some kind of empty, futile, facile kind of a way that points to us, but in a way that challenges society, in a way that challenges attitudes, in a way that challenges behaviour. And you know, when we're not living like that, we're actually not being the people that Christ designed us to be and intends us to be. And our lives and the lives of our families and friends and workplaces and communities and nations are the poorer for it when we do not live in that way. You, thanks Mike, are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Right, in those days, salt was an incredibly precious commodity. It was so precious, we know that at times Roman soldiers were paid in salt rather than cash. That's where we get that phrase from, he's worth his salt. It was known as their salarium, from the Latin word sal, which means salt. That's where we get our word salary from. It was a precious commodity, valued highly as a purifier, as a cleanser, as a healing agent, as a preserver. And it still is. It's amazing how many times and different uses salt has in the household as well as major industrial processes. But Jesus is saying if it loses its saltiness, it's no good. It might as well just be thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot. Christians are to be like salt. What does that mean? Well, I think it means this. It means we're meant to be purifiers. We're meant to be cleansers. We're meant to be healers. We're meant to be preservers of that message of Christ and to speak it out into the world, to cleanse the world, to make a difference. And then you are the light of the world. You don't light a lamp or a candle and then shove it under a bucket because it won't do any good, will it? Its whole intention is to shine out and to make a difference. Light makes a difference, doesn't it? It shows us where to go. It can keep us safe. It reveals the truth. It reveals what is around us. It guides us. It brings us hope. It's a focus. It's a rallying point. Christians are called to be lights in the world, making a difference, bringing light and life and hope. God said to Abraham, Genesis 12, I will bless you, not so you can just have a good time on your own. I will bless you so you can be a blessing. That was what it was about. Not so we could sit at home and have a nice time all on our own. It's to make a difference. Peter picks up on that in his first letter, chapter 3. He says it's a calling. It's our calling to bless others. In Jesus' name. And you remember a few years ago when we did that course all about blessing. And I hope you're continuing just to live in that freedom of blessing everything that crosses your path and people you see. You bless them in the name of Christ. We are fuel for that fire. It's great when one or two people do that, but consider it like this. If every single one of us was burning out like that and being salty just like that, what a difference it would make. Like throwing extra fuel on the fire, or like turning up the fader on the lamp, you know, so it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. The more people who are shining out and living in that way. So the question is then, thanks Mike. It feels a bit like one of them COVID presentations there, doesn't it? Next slide, please. How can we do this? How can we be salt and light in the world? And I wanted to share four simple little things with you. And they are, in themselves, small things for us to consider and to think about doing, but will make the most enormous difference. And the first thing is this. It's our worship. Our worship. Worship in spirit and truth, Jesus says, yes. But coming together in worship. You know, it's so easy, isn't it? The temptation is so easy to give into, to find something else that is more important than gathering together in worship. But Jesus himself calls us to make sure that we're placing worship above all things. That we're worshipping God in spirit and truth. That is our primary concern. And yes, life is busy. And yes, lots of pressures come on us. And yes, we can't be through shift work, can't always be here every single time at 10:30. But that is why the PCCs last year made the decision to alter the opportunities that we were being able to provide and to create to encounter God. And opportunities to come together in worship. So if 10:30 doesn't suit, there's harder at 9 o'clock in the morning. And if that's too early or 10:30 can't fit with the work, there's 2:30 in the afternoon. Or every single Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock evening prayer by telephone. Or midweek we can gather as we do in the West End at the back here at 9:15 to 10 o'clock for prayer. Or join a house group. You know, there's so many opportunities for us to come together in worship. How can we be salt and light? Don't minimise the importance of worship. Next, to read our Bibles. To read God's word. To know the promises of God that are held in Scripture. Being a Christian means we're having Christ living within us. Our spirits are literally born again, but they need feeding. I guarantee that if you don't feed your body today, tomorrow morning you'll know about it. We need to feed our spirits in the same way. It's just harder sometimes to know the danger of not doing so. It builds up bit by bit. And then the damage comes through. Feed on the word of God. Know the promises of God. Read the Bible. And some of you might say, how do I begin? It's just so big and it's so thick and the print's so small. It's a bit like eating an elephant. You know that phrase, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And there are study guides out there. And if that will really help you with that. And if you're not sure which one to get or how to start or to begin, have a word with somebody else who is. Or come to me and I'll tell you and I'll point you in the right direction. But let's make sure we are feeding on God's word. Otherwise we can't shine. Because we don't know what we're shining about and with and for. And we can't be the salt that the Lord is wanting us to be. 20 minutes or so a day. Do you know, Christianity Explored, that course that we're running out of Sycamore Hall. We're into week 3 this week. And the comment that keeps coming back more often than not from around the tables is how grateful people are to have the opportunity to discuss and study God's word together. So special. If you've not been yet, come along. If you want to come for the meal, just let us know because we need to cater for it. But that's at 6:30. Otherwise, the session begins at 7:15 and lasts till 8:30. Come along. Even better, when you come, bring a mate with you as well. All right? And let's enjoy this together. But getting into God's word. How can we be salt and light? Ensure that we're feeding our spirit on God's word. Third one, staying in fellowship with one another. I'm always encouraged after having prepared an opportunity for public worship. I'm always encouraged when somebody else turns up. And you are as well, aren't you? Aren't you encouraged today that you're sat next to somebody who's also come along? Or they're behind you, or they're in front of you. You've heard me say many, many times before, and you will continue to hear me say it. Never underestimate the power of your physical presence on blessing and encouraging somebody else in their worship. Because we are meant to be together as family, as church, on a journey together. Being together matters. It shows how much we value the Lord, but you know what? It also shows, I think, how much we value one another as well. I'm going to go today because I can, because I want to, and because I want to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ that they're not alone, that we're here together to make a difference. And I'll tell you something else as well. The witness that it gives to the community when large numbers of people all head towards a church building. Since we've been here, I know on several occasions, and I've been outside, folks have said, "What's happening? What's happening? Where are all these people going?" I'm saying, "Come to worship. Come join us." Now, when we first started the gathering, right, we were close to triple figures. Something is tailing off somewhere, and I don't know why. Maybe it's a complacency that we need to get sorted. Ah, it's a gathering. It's all right. Somebody else will turn up. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It really, really does. To encourage your brothers and sisters and to create witness to the community out there. And we all know folks who aren't here this morning that we really, really want to be here with us. And they could be not here for all kinds of good reasons. And yes, this morning I know there are people not here because of work commitments, because of family issues and commitments, because of ill health. But you know, it's so easy for us just to go back and say, "Do you know, I really missed you on Sunday. I missed you being there. I miss the encouragement that you give me by being there." How can we be salt and light, encouraging one another in our faith? Finally, do something. How can we be salt and light? By doing something. We've already heard those scriptures about God blessing us to be a blessing. Psalm 37 says, "Trust God, do good." Find something. Find someone to bless. There's a challenge for today. And I bet you don't have to travel many footsteps before you come across somebody who'll benefit. It's just a case of us being open for it. Do something. It always makes you feel better. And you know, when you've done that, somebody might turn around and say, "Well, thanks. And it's great, it's all right." Sometimes they might say, "Oh, that's really lovely. Why have you done that?" And you can go even further. You can say, "Well, God's blessed me, so I'm blessing you." You know, it's as simple as that. And yet by doing it, we're shining out. We're being salt. We're being light. Stand against injustice. When you see something, hear something, read something that is not honouring somebody else or honouring God, speak out. Speak out. Write to the broadcaster. Write to the newspaper or the magazine. Withdraw yourself from the conversation. That's simple enough to do if you're not brave enough to say something. But withdrawing yourself from a situation can speak very, very powerfully that actually you don't think that's acceptable. We're supposed to love mercy, do justly, aren't we? That's the call upon our lives. How can we be salt and light? Stand up for what's right. Four simple little things that we can do. Every single one of us. And yet, makes such a difference. Such a difference. I know I'm not on my own when I say my heart aches that our communities in the upper end of this dale would continue to have the opportunity to encounter God through there being a living witness of faith in our communities. My heart aches for that. And that's why we're called to be salt and light. So I want to give us a moment now, thanks Mike, to think about how we might respond to all of that. I know that whilst I've been talking, Many of you have had the Holy Spirit convicting you about something and just speaking to you about something or someone. You're thinking, yeah, okay, I could do that. And some of you are probably thinking, oh, really? Yeah, but I can do that, Lord. To be salt, to be light. What is the Holy Spirit convicting us to do today, this week, this year? Is it something that you've been called to begin? Is it something that you're being called to stop and maybe repent of? What is it, church family, what is it that we would like to see our churches shining out for this year? What is it that you want to encourage your PCCs to take a lead on this year? To be salt, to be light. What will it look like for you? What will it look like for me? And maybe this phrase on the screen now might be something that you might come back to. Let your light shine from me in 2023. We're in the stillness now. Consider what the Lord is saying. Whatever the Lord calls us to, he equips us to do it. And as we respond in faith, our faith grows. It's a muscle and it needs exercising. But we can all do something, can't we? So as we stay in our seats now, that we might look to the screen and let's declare together our faith in the God who calls us to know him, to love him, to live our lives for him, with him and through him. As we say together the words of the creed.